This is Tristan Beeman of the Wine Exchange in Santa Ana. You're listening to a spectacular vintage year in food news, SoCal Restaurant Show. Cheers.
And welcome back. It is hour two of the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Las Vegas Raiders football. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show. Glad to have you out there. And we're enthusiastically presented each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Picking up our conversation with Kat Hong, who is half of the duo that is responsible for Yangban Society in the Arts District of downtown L.A. Kat, my apologies. We have a hard out at the top of the hour there, and you were mid-sentence talking about how you looked at the former Bone Tone space, and it kind of grew on you because, yeah, obviously it was way too big for what your original concept was, but there was space to do other things. Now, part of the space that you use upstairs is this very innovative Korean mini market and beverage area that restaurant patrons can get their libations there, but also people in the neighborhood can come and buy things a la carte. Was that part of the original plan, or when you saw that space upstairs at Bon Ton, all of a sudden, I know what to do with that?
It was a little bit of both. I think we always imagined having an element of retail. But when we did see the space, you know, that used to be a private dining room, it was kind of blocked off. For some reason, John and I just both felt like Korean Super should be in there. And that's for, you know, multiple reasons. Like, A, it allows us to sell, like, wine in a format where we can keep it priced reasonably, you know, more like retail grocery store prices rather than, like, a restaurant markup.
Yeah, wonderful idea.
Yeah. And I love shopping. I love little Korean neighborhood markets. I think they're fun. I love being able, also for me, I like the opportunity when having dinner to be able to keep kind of popping in and out of my seat and exploring if I want.
Ah, the night we were there, Kat, that's exactly what we did. So I'm glad we're following the plan. In terms of the super or the mini market, you have this incredible selection of beverages that obviously have all been hand selected. You have cocktails in the bottle and in the can that are dedicated to you. You have your own private label of sake. Tell us a little bit about the beverage program, because, again, different, but also very special. And, you know, for those of us that are always looking for something, you know, new and different, the gentleman that you have that manages that area for you as far as the beverages is concerned, you can ask him any question in terms of, you know, what you would recommend that would pair with a dish that was on your menu. And, you know, not only does he have one suggestion, but he probably has a couple of suggestions. So, again, the training that some of your staff people have, Kat, this is the antithesis of what you see around town these days, where, you know, everybody is short of servers, everybody is short of staff. You know, training kind of goes by the wayside to have people on the floor. So give us a little bit more information, because, again, you know, your beverage program there is really a wonderful attraction.
Sure. It's a great selection. There's highs, there's lows, which was very important to us. But, you know, more importantly, everything in there, John and I truly love. We worked with a really close friend. He helped us kind of, he came by, tasted some Korean ingredients. We, you know, roundtabled some ideas. He helped develop our house-made cocktails, which are really fabulous. And we continue to work with him, really, trying to find different, unique, cool offerings, I guess. And in terms of the staff, you know, we actually, while education and training is super important, we took a much lighter approach at Yangban. I didn't need everyone to come in with a polished, you know, resume and tons of wine knowledge and whatnot. We really emphasized to just be friendly, just be open, just be hospitable. I think that was really important, especially coming out of the pandemic or somewhat. Just that feeling of hospitality. You don't need to feel the pressure or be nervous because you don't have all the answers. You need to be just welcoming, friendly, and helpful, and we will find the answers together.
Well, Kat, again, that was my experience dining with you, and you know, when you're with chefs and restaurateurs, just by nature, we ask a lot of questions, and you know, we never flummoxed anybody. So again, that was a very positive note that I came away from. Now, before we run out of time, we definitely have to talk about the food. Again, you see items on your menu that you just don't see anywhere else. Let's start out by talking about the fried white sundae sausage, which I know is a specialty of yours, and you know, really enjoyable.
Sure. Sundae is like a Korean blood sausage. I actually love it. But, you know, it's blood. It can be a lot for people. And Koreans joke, like, you love it until you have a bad experience. And then, you know, then you stop liking it at some point. Anyways, we wanted to do kind of a more approachable version inspired by that blood sausage. So this is a total white sausage, also inspired because John spent some time in Vienna. And so it's a white base. It's stuffed with a lot of Korean sweet potato noodles or vermicelli noodles. We, you know, stuff them in-house. We steam the coil of sausage. Then we cut it into little bite-sized pieces and deep fry it. And when we fry it, the steamed noodles kind of puff a little bit. And it's served with a white kimchi sauerkraut and a mustard dijonnaise for dipping.
Kat, you make it sound like such a simple dish, but it is rather complex, but definitely recommendable. Now, with your Jewish heritage and Hanukkah coming up, before we go on, we have to talk about your interpretation of matzo ball soup, because again, that is a real winner too.
Sure. My grandmother, my dad's mother, I loved her matzo ball soup. So I would wait every year, you know, for Passover or Hanukkah when she would be making it. And so I have her recipe. And so we use her actual matzo ball recipe, but we have really emulsified the chicken broth. We boil it really, really aggressively, kind of like a Korean oxbone broth. And so the broth just gets naturally kind of creamy and really rich. And then we have taken some Yukon potatoes, some Korean squash from Grow and Doug Farm, and we confit them in schmaltz, add that back into the broth. Also, there are some Korean sujebi, like chewy hand-torn dumplings, and tons of fresh dill, scallions, and that's just truly how John and I like to enjoy matzo ball soup at home.
Kat, I have to say, you bring matzo ball soup to a whole different level at Yangban Society. And, you know, it was a really a real treat, and we all shared it at the table and really enjoyed it. As we're getting a little pressed for time, we don't want to neglect dessert. You're kind of the master of understatement. On the dessert menu, you have a dessert item just described as whipped cheesecake. Kat, you see a lot of cheesecakes around town, and the problem with cheesecake is it's generally pretty heavy, and though it's wonderful, a little can go a long way. Your whipped cheesecake is ethereal. Before we say goodbye, you have to describe it because, again, you know, it's really a taste experience.
Sure. Again, inspired by, you know, New York cheesecake, but Asian desserts, you'll notice they're not super sweet, and they're also pretty light and airy and approachable. So we took all of the elements of a traditional cheesecake, whipped them with a little bit of coconut cream. The crust is made with like a butter, coconut, and brown sugar. And so it looks like a piled high, really massive piece of cheesecake, but I hope that it eats, you know, kind of light. Light and airy with like mild coconut and some brown butter.
Kat, it is as you describe it, and I enjoyed it so much that I took a couple home, and it holds well in the refrigerator for a couple days, but, you know, definitely doesn't last long. But for the cheesecake lovers out there that are like me, you know, a little goes a long way, even though you love it, you know, this is one for you because you will come away and think that you haven't overdone it. Now, Kat, as we need to say goodbye, tomorrow is a very important national holiday. It is National Cookie Day. You have a great, yes. You don't have that marked on your calendar?
I don't, but I will.
Well, you know, you should. You have a dark chocolate chip cookie that is on your dessert menu. Just very briefly, as we need to say goodbye, tell us about that one, because it is a rich, sinful chocolate chip cookie.
Sure. It's a really big cookie, you know, the size of your hand. Dark chocolate. It's got crispy on the outside, but chewy in the center. So I like a cookie that's a combination of both those things. Chewy, crunchy, and it's packed with a lot of dark chocolate.
I'm into that. Kat, as we need to say goodbye, where is Yangban Society in the Arts District for people that are not familiar with that location? And what's the best website so people can review the menu?
Sure. We are located at 712 South Santa Fe Avenue. It is right around the corner from Bestia and the Bread Lounge, across the street from Warner Music. And you can check out our menu via our website, which is www.yangbanla.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, half the team, the chef founders of Yangban Society in the Arts District of L.A., a new restaurant this year that, you know, really is doing some things that are rather exciting, innovative, and that you won't see anywhere else. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. When we return, we are going to the Milky Way, which is a kosher dairy restaurant in the Pico Robertson area of Los Angeles, talking about latkes. We are proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.